All right, this is the broadcast for God's Grace for You. It should be aired on Wednesday, the date on the label. Well, praise the Lord. This is Pastor Greg Durrell, pastor of Heritage Bible Church, back with you, having a grand time this week, trying to answer some of the verses that have been given to us to purportedly explain the modern-day phenomenon known as tongues, and we've been looking at some of these verses. Also, too, we've been offering you the book called The Gospel, as well as the fact sheet on tongues. We will send both or either one to you. Your choice, you're up to you. You can have them free. Give us a call. If you're out of town, it's 1-866-68-GRACE. If you're in town, it's 392-4900. If you're on the web, you can go to the website, heritagebiblechurch.com, email your request, or you can write us a letter. We're at 785 Heritage Avenue. We're in Tarrytown, Louisiana. The zip code is 70056. If you'd like to come by and see us, you can do that as well. Always glad to see a smiling face, and often it's just a joy to put a name with a face. Some of you have written us and write us a lot and ask questions, and it's often really, really nice to meet you. And so we pray that at some point perhaps the Lord may move upon your heart to come by and visit us or something. But anyway, we're looking at this issue of tongues. We're looking at verses that people have given to demonstrate at least what they say, or at least what people have told them will demonstrate the issue. Now, we have spent about 3 weeks, went through a whole host of scriptures. And I have to say this, as of yet, we're still waiting for any sort of rebuttal. We haven't heard anything. It's deafening. No one takes apart the verses we give. No one says, hey, wait, you're out of context in this verse because you misquoted this verse. We're still waiting, and we find that to be interesting. But we have some verses, and we've looked at two already. We want to look at the third one today. And the third one is this. It's in Romans chapter 8. I think we briefly dealt with it a couple of weeks ago in one of the studies, but we're going to revisit it again because someone said it was used. Someone sent us a copy of a video of a guy on television using this as a proof text. Now, we thought this was kind of unique, thought it kind of odd that anybody that had studied anything on television would would use this as a proof text, but nonetheless, the person did. So we're going to address it, and it's in Romans chapter 8. Now, in this supposed discussion that we viewed, what this guy did, he simply just rolled off some verses in a row. In other words, you kind of chain them all up together, link them up. You take a verse here, a verse there. You're not interested in context of those verses. You're just interested in what the verses say. So if the verse says something that's positive from your point of view, if you could link it up with another verse that's similar and link it up with another verse, then you build a doctrine that way. Now, you don't build a correct doctrine that way. I mean, you can build a false doctrine that way. That's the old this and that philosophy. You know, you take a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and you kind of make a little gumbo, so to speak. You're not interested in context of the verses because the context of the verse could really mess up your point. You're just looking for words that fit. You're looking for words that look the same, or you know, that tend to convey what you want to convey. And so this is text grabbing. You know, we have people that go and they'll grab a text here and grab a text there. Well, this fella got down to Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, and he says, and look, more proof here. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, I have to say this, when he got to the last part of that verse, the volume in his voice dropped considerably. And I think it was because he heard what he was saying, and he realized what he was saying was contradicting his point. Now, let's look at the verse. So he says this, Paul says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. He says, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Now, Paul is saying, we don't have anything to do with this. We're not involved in this prayer at all. we don't cause it to come to pass. It's not based upon our volition, our will. This is something that the Holy Spirit that lives within does. So likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. It's not our intercessory prayer in tongues. This has nothing to do with tongues at all. Moreover, the end of the verse says what? With groanings which cannot be uttered. Cannot be uttered. They're unspeakable, inexpressible. This isn't something that comes out of your mouth. You have nothing to do with this. You're not even involved in it. You may not even know it's taking place because you're so perplexed at the time, you don't know how to pray. And so what Paul is giving us here is great comfort, great consolation. He says, listen, even in times of great perplexity, times of great pressure and things, when we sit and don't know, just have no clue as to which way to go, and we're infirmed, Paul says, then the intercessor, God the Holy Spirit, the parakaleo that lives within, he makes the intercession for us. And it's with groanings which cannot be uttered. This is not things that are spoken through you. There's no noise involved. It has nothing to do with any overt activity at all. Now, how in the world can this be a proof text for speaking and for praying in tongues? How can that be a proof text for that? That's not what it says. Matter of fact, it says just the opposite. It's not utterable. If you're making an utterance, then it's not this. Now, how clear is that? It cannot be uttered. It's unspeakable. It's inexpressible. It's not through human means. It's not through your auditory system. Now, that's clear. It's not complex. Now, what part of that do you have a problem with? Now, at some point, you know, maybe you're beating your chest, beating the steering wheel, but you need to read the text. Read the Word of God. I didn't make this up. I didn't write this. I just read it to you. That's all. Now, believe me, I watched this person and roll on and, you know, just roll these verses out one after another, you know, about three or four of them, none of which were in context. That's a prime example of one that was not in context. Now, let me ask you a question. How many verses do I have to twist? How many verses do I have to give you that are not valid for my point before you'll dismiss me? I mean, if I came here on the radio every week and I quoted verses that had absolutely nothing to do with my point, and I tried to make a point, as so many people do. I mean, I hear so many Old Testament verses just taken out of context, beaten to death, have absolutely no application for a New Testament believer at all. But they're the hobby horses of many people. Now, how many times would a person have to do that? Well, you say, well, they could get one verse wrong. But you know, if all your verses are wrong for the basis of your doctrine and your doctrine's wrong, then at what point do I recognize you as a false teacher? At what point do I say, wait a minute, you may be a nice person. You know, you might be a good neighbor. You know, you might have a nice smile. You might be funny. But when it comes to the Word of God, you're just not cutting it. You're missing it. You're twisting it. You're making up things that simply do not exist. Now, that's the danger today. That's the danger. And that's what we have that's prevalent today. People doing those things. Doing those things. Let me get you to another verse. We have time. The book of Jude. The book of Jude, verse 20. Jude chapter 1, verse 20. It says, but you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God. Now, someone says, well, that's it. That's proof right there. I heard a guy say that. Yeah, he's saying, let me read it the way they want you to believe it. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in tongues. That's not what the verse says at all, is it? It's not what it says. Now, look at verse 19. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. Now, conversely, we have the Spirit, so he says we need to build ourselves up spiritually. We're just talking about here perfect Christianity here. Building up yourselves in your most holy faith. Praying in the Spirit, as opposed to what? Praying in the flesh. Remember the beginning of the week? One's the opposite of the other. You could pray in the flesh. Someone says, no, that's praying in tongues. Well, let me ask you, how about when it says walking in the Spirit? Do you walk in tongues? You pray in tongues, do you walk in tongues? You say, well, that's silly. You're right. You're right, it's silly. It's all silly. What's the context? It's praying in the Spirit versus praying in the flesh. It's not praying in some nonsensical language. Verse 21, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto life eternal, or eternal life. Now, this is not a proof text at all. But again, people have to grab things like this. Why? Because there is no proof text. Nowhere. Nowhere. Do this for me. Take your concordance. New Testament. Forget Acts. Begin in Romans. Run Romans to Revelations. Tell me how many times the word tongues appears. And then eliminate everywhere it appears in 1 Corinthians, because those are passages of rebuke. You don't want to follow the pattern there. Now, everywhere in all the epistles, all the practical application for you and I, tell me how many times are we taught about these things? How many times we're told to exercise these things? Find for me all the chapters on heavenly prayer language, praying in tongues, etc., 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 where the Holy Spirit speaks through someone in tongues and then speaks through someone else in English or whatever the known language is and interprets. Give me some texts for this. Give me some passages for this. Certainly it's there. If you think it's the most essential way to pray, if it's the way, the only effectual way to pray, then give me some chapters and verses that talk about tongues. Now, you're going to be surprised at what you're going to find. Now, for some, it won't make any difference. Some people have some experience. It wouldn't make any difference what the Word of God said. You're not going to deny your experience. You're going to say, my experience is truth, not the Word of God. So for some, it makes no difference. But others, perhaps, the Word of God is just that. It's the Word of God, and they're going to bow to it, and not to any experience, or not to any man, or not to any teacher, but to the Word and the Word only. If you would like the gospel, we'll send it to you free. Give us a call, 392-4900, or go to the website heritagebiblechurch.com. But most importantly, join us tomorrow at this same time.